Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of the Gigahira podcast, and we are glad you decided to listen to us. Today's guest is the native speaker, Conor Plesha.
Mm-hmm. You can use the hat check.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Hello, and thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
What brought you to Czechia in the first place?
Honestly, it was just someone in America said Prague is cool, and I listened to them, and I came. And that was back in 2007, and they were correct.
Is our school the first one you are teaching at?
This is the first high school I'm teaching at. Previously, I taught at some just like general language schools, private language schools, but for adults.
Was it in Czechia or what?
Also in Prague, and then I was in Japan for half a year teaching in a university. Then I came back here for this job.
So what's the timeline of you living in different countries?
I first left the US in the summer of 2007 to come to Prague. I was here until the end of 2008. I went back to the US for a little bit. Stayed for almost a year, then left for Japan. About 6-7 months in Japan, back to Arizona for I think 5 months, and then back here. And that was Then I started teaching here. Was it August 2011?
Was there any hidden motivation in choosing a math-oriented school?
No, my entire motivation was that Miss Novakova's son Randy is one of my good friends. And he wrote me an email asking if I wanted to move back to Prague to teach at his mother's school. And that was that.
How has your teaching experience changed you as a person?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say, on one hand, it certainly made me more patient. Also made me more organized. Of course, as the native teacher, having to teach like 22 to 24 lessons per week, I have to keep very detailed notes on everything I'm doing with every different class and really prepare things for every different class. So yeah, my organization skills have improved drastically.
Are the notes just about students or about classes? Or?
No, it's actually full lesson plans. And in my office right now, I have a bag full of 11 years of diaries. I still have every single one from my first year till now with all my lesson plans for 11 years and 20-something classes each year. It's a lot.
Do other employees excel at English?
Well, certainly the English teachers, for sure. But I would say I haven't really spoken to... Yeah, I haven't really had long conversations with the majority of other teachers. But... I mean, for the most part, everyone's fine. My mixture of bad Czech and their mixture of better English always works out.
And how about students?
And their level of English?
Mm-hmm.
I can honestly say it has improved significantly since I started here. You know, when I started, it was already pretty good in 2011. But back then, you would still have at least 10 to 20% of the class who were pretty much beginners. And now I don't really see that with any class. I think, obviously with, YouTube, Netflix, and video games, everyone's doing everything in English now, and even more so than 10 years ago. So I think, I'm massively impressed with everyone's English these days.
Does it make the lesson easier for you?
Oh, definitely. If you looked through my notes, all of my lesson plans, my plans are much bigger than what we ever do in class, because we end up spending so much time in class talking, which is, what I really want anyway. But of course, I have to plan for all these other possibilities if nobody ever wants to talk. The fact that my students are good speakers and also interested in a lot of different things and topics, it just makes it so much easier to do this job.
You have been here for almost 12 years, so how does it feel like being here for so long?
I mean, now this is basically more than a quarter of my life. it feels very comfortable here. it almost, like, in a way, doesn't even feel like having to work because everything's just so second nature at this point. You know, it's, I know most of the student books front to back by heart, and it's a weird idea to be leaving here after so long. And it's been a really great experience. I wouldn't trade for anything.
Your next stop is the Netherlands. Are you also going to be a teacher there?
Probably not. I mean, if either of you have ever traveled to the Netherlands, you'll know that everyone's English is pretty much perfect there. I'll probably be moving on to other opportunities.
Are you preparing in any way?
Right now, I'm still just kind of relaxing and going to enjoy a little bit of summer. My fiance and I will go to a cottage on Saturday, spend a week just to relax with the dogs, and then I'll start hardcore figuring out the next move.
Where in the Netherlands are you going to?
That all depends on where I find work. My fiance can go anywhere. Her job is remote. But her family is from Delft, if we're back there, I think we would like to live either in The Hague or maybe in Utrecht, but lots of cool stuff in Amsterdam too, so I don't know. It's an amazing country, so I'd be pretty happy anywhere in that place.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you're looking forward to?
Just new, I guess that's it. Yeah, these new challenges, new people. I mean, it'd be really weird to leave here. Since I've been here for so long, this is where most of my friends are who, you know, when you live abroad, they basically become your family. So it'd almost be like leaving my family again, which is a weird idea. But no, I mean, I'm excited for the next chapter.
Why did you decide for a change?
It's just something I needed, I think. You know, it's just been just been a long time doing the same thing, and I just need something new challenges, and that's it.
Do you miss Kotsur?
Kotsur? Mm-hmm. Kotsur hasn't lived with me for a while. That was my old roommate's cat. Mm-hmm. I think my dog Ernie still misses Kotsur quite a bit. He still actually, whenever we say the word Kotsur in front of my dog Ernie, he just starts going insane and looking all around the house for him.
How old is your dog?
He will be 6 in about a week. Maybe. He's from a shelter. I don't know his exact birthday. I just said 4th of July because, you know, America.
What is your home city?
It is Tempe, Arizona. It's a suburb of Phoenix.
How does a school work in the USA?
I mean, it's not so much different, I suppose. You know, we still go to school in the mornings, have all of our lessons. I guess one of the biggest differences, though, is, students are mixing a lot more. You know, we go to different lessons with a totally different group of students, every lesson is with a totally new group of students. But it's something I haven't really decided which I like more. Because on one hand, I think it's really cool that you guys stay in one group with one group of students and you really bond and you get this close group of 20 to 30 kids. But it seems like you don't mix as much with other classes, whereas in the US, you just get these really big, broad groups of friends if you want. If not, then you just stay by yourself. So it's a little more independent in the US, I would say. Otherwise, schools mostly say maybe there's more focus on writing and kind of critical thinking activities in American schools, whereas a lot of here it's a lot more memorizing facts. And yeah, I can't really say that I think one is better than the other, though, really.
What is the psychology behind cliques?
Oh, cliques. Well, I think it actually really... not a good question, actually, because I actually would compare that to... sort of how it is here, where, you know, basically your whole class is like quote-unquote clique, but in the US you sort of have to find your own kind of homeroom group. So you just have to find your own group that's going to be your tight crew for all of your years of high school, whereas here it's just kind of handed to you. So I think this idea of cliques, they kind of grow so strong because, I don't know, you feel like you have to find this strong group of friends.
So is there any difference between social group and cliques?
Kind of. I mean, yeah. I guess cliques can have more of a negative connotation. Because often you hear clique, the word clique, and it seems like you're excluding everybody else. Which is kind of true. Yeah, but I mean, you can still have a wider social group. Maybe your clique can be a little more tight-knit, but you might still have a wider social group. I mean, like, I would say I was in, I guess you could kind of say I was in a couple of cliques, but I was really just a member of all these different social groups when I was in high school. So I played sports, I rode skateboards, I rode bikes, I was into punk music, so I had all these kind of different quote-unquote clicks, I guess. And,
yeah. How many kilometers have you driven on a bike the most in one day?
I guess that was when I did... Oh, I did a bike ride from Seattle, Washington, to Portland, Oregon once. And, you guys might have to do the conversion for me because it was 210 miles.
I don't know.
It was 210 miles in kilometers.
It's 340 kilometers.
There we go. So that was it, 340 kilometers.
Mm-hmm. You also had a lecture in English literature. How did these lectures look like?
In the literature lectures? It was, for one thing, it depended on the class that was doing them. Because some were much more interested in literature than others. But basically, we started with the very beginnings of literature in America, which would be the oral traditions of the Native Americans, learning some of the stories of oral tradition that they passed down, given moral lessons and teachings about the land and land usage and journeys and all these things. We'd go down each period of literature, from the first European settlers to the Puritans up until the modernists in the 1900s. And then, the end of the year is always, if we have time, we get to all my favorite modern current authors, which this year things seem to get a little bit out of control and then did not get to the last part of the year. But yeah, usually end with my favorite writer, Ernest Hemingway. Who was kind of my inspiration for moving to Europe in the first place.
So what is your favorite book?
My favorite book is The Sun Also Rises by Ernest Hemingway, which is the inspiration for that tattoo. It was in that story. It was this group of Americans living after World War I in Paris, and they traveled down to Spain, Pamplona and San Sebastian, and just this lifestyle seemed so free and nice and easy, just a bunch of artists really enjoying life in Europe. And that made me want to come over here. Of course, then I learned that it's not quite as easy as it seemed in the books. But
do you drink?
Do I drink? Mm-hmm. I'm drinking coffee right now. Is that what you mean?
Drink
alcohol, you mean? yes, I do. I do. I do really love Czech beer, of course.
So what's your favorite one?
Oh, it's such a hard question. I think currently I would say my favorite Ležák is from Kamenice. My favorite IPA is from Svatý Norbert, the Strahov Klášter, Strahov Monastery. They have a very good IPA. And maybe those are my two favorite. I would say my favorite beer of the big brands, though, of course, is Pilsner Urquell. And the one I will not drink is Staropramen.
So you already said that you can speak Czech. Can you give us a quick introduction about yourself in Czech?
Meno Conor. Jsem z Ameriky, z Arizony. Ruti Shuti, Arizona, Texas. What else do you want?
It's okay. So we asked our listeners, and here's what they asked. Did anything extraordinary happen in school or on a school trip?
Well, we were actually just telling this story with the other English teachers, and it's probably my favorite story of my kind of ignorance of, Europe, I guess. And we were on our the English trip to Wales and the UK, Wales and London. Back in, I guess it was 2012, I believe. Mr. Prokopets and I were waiting outside of the bus for the students to come back from their English lessons. There was this field of plants next to the bus, and Mr. Prokopets asked if I knew what they were, and I said no. And he told me, oh, well, you should touch them. They're really soft. So I touched one a little bit, touched one of the leaves a little, and I said, oh, yeah, it's kind of like velvet. And he looked at me, he's like, no, you should really touch it. Like, grab it. And so I did. And I started saying, why are my hands burning so much? And he said, and he just started laughing. He's like, that's called nettle. I did not know, kopshiva. I did not know what that was. probably my favorite story of this whole time.
What is your mind process before getting your first tattoo?
Well, my first tattoo was about more than 20 years ago. I don't totally remember what my mom was saying. I think I was just really excited, to be honest. But I know for me, though, I was given great advice when I was in high school. I met this older guy who was in his like mid-20s or something, and he had lots of tattoos, and I was telling him all these ideas that I had, and he told me, Connor, those are all really stupid ideas. You're going to hate those when you're older. He said, if you ever want a tattoo, make sure you think about it for at least 1 year, and if you still think it's a good idea, then do it. So that's kind of what I've lived by ever since. I do not regret any of them. All of them I've really thought about. I think that's important, especially when I see so many kids with weird, really weird tattoos.
How many tattoos do you have?
I've not really counted. I think it's around 30 or so.
What should be the legal age at which you could get a tattoo?
I would say 18 is fine. I'd say 18 or 20 is probably fine. So I do think younger than 18, you're not, you don't know what you're gonna like to have on you. This is a permanent thing, it's on your body your whole life. And I know the ideas I had when I was 18 that I thought sounded so cool, I really would not like now. So, yeah, it's important just to think about it first.
Is there anything better about bike rides than using public transportation?
For one, I just think it's more fun. I sometimes if I'm deep into a book, then I'll leave my bike home so I can read my book on the tram. But otherwise, I think in the morning, like a bike ride to work is almost as good as a cup of coffee. Like, it really helps wake me up, especially the adrenaline of riding in Prague traffic with Prague drivers. It's a big adrenaline boost in the mornings coming to work. I think it just gives you a lot of energy to start the day.
So thank you, Connor Plesche, for taking the time to record this episode with us. Also, we would like to thank you for the 11, almost 12 years with us, and wish you the best of luck in your future life.
Oh, thank you guys so much. Thank everybody from the school. Man, this has been an amazing experience.
And thank you, listeners, for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.